no dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
You're listening to Latin Radical with Warwick Fry.
Jose Teixeira on the phone from Dili, and he's just been to Australia. He was here with Murray Alkatiri just over a week ago, and they met up with the Prime Minister. Jose, how did Murray's tour in Australia go? How did he feel about it?
Oh, extremely well, extremely well. He's wanted to make the trip to Australia for some time. The possibility of a trip was raised when Prime Minister Rudd visited in February of this year, soon after the attempt on Dr. Horta's life. And Prime Minister Alkatiri, former Prime Minister Alkatiri accepted at that time. Mm-hmm. He had planned to make the trip a lot sooner. But events have kept him away, and he was finally able to make it in October. Last month, and it was a very worthwhile trip. The intention of the trip was to give exposure to Australian public, the Solidarity Group, the interest groups that are involved in Timor-Leste, Australian political leadership, and naturally the Australian media. This is the first time since 2006 that they've had it. Well, with the exception of a short visit to Darwin in February when he visited the president when he was still in hospital there. This is the first substantive opportunity he's had to talk to the Australian press. And we're extremely happy with the outcome in that I think there were many misconceptions that the Australian press held about Dr. Alkatiri, his government, Fretland's role in post-independence Timor-Leste, and Fretland's current role as the de facto opposition. And I think we're very satisfied that we've been able to put our view across, and that view has been accepted. Of course, he also had the opportunity of delivering two talks to academic groups, one at the Victoria University that has an extensive collaboration program with Timor-Leste tertiary institutions, mainly the UNTL and the Dili Institute of Technology, UNTL being the national university, and of course then the Australian National University that has a centre there that undertakes postgraduate research and has a number of students undertaking postgraduate research in very interesting, very widespread, but very critical areas on Timor-Leste and Timor-Leste's development. And Dr. Alkatiri was happy to put forward his own view about the future development of Timor-Leste and to highlight a theme, which is that Timor-Leste historically, geostrategically, geopolitically exists on the cusp of Asia and the Pacific, and how Timor could serve with its own development of peace, with its own development of security, with its own economic development, how it can contribute to becoming a bridge for constructive partnerships between the Asia and the Pacific, two regions that have really been disconnected and that many have sought to connect. As we go about nation building, as we go about state building, as we go about building economic prosperity for our nation and our people, we can become, I think, a part of and be a bridge for two regions that could also benefit from the very unique situation that Timor-Leste occupies from a language point of view, from a historical point of view, and from an independent sovereign nation point of view. So we look forward to expanding on that. He brainstormed with a number of very well-qualified academics in the area, academics with expertise in Timor-Leste, and he's developing a concept paper that he would like to have further discussion on, and he received some invitations to return to Australian academic institutions, and he intends to take that up and to carry on further engagement with Australian opinion makers and Australian thinkers on this issue.
Oh, well, that's very exciting news, Jose, and also good to hear that he's getting a more sympathetic reception now from the Australian media. I noticed there were two or three quite good interviews on the ABC. And also, while he was here, he had a meeting with our Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd.
Indeed, it was a meeting between old friends. I had the privilege of sitting in, and I can call the Prime Minister an old friend. I've known him from my days in Queensland, and Dr. Alkatiri similarly has known him for quite some time. And it was a meeting to talk about a number of issues and to report on the progress in Timor-Leste towards stability and what Australia's continuing role and continuing positive role should be in that regard.
Yeah, and I think a few months ago, when Xanana was here, there was some discussion about the issue of Timorese guest workers. Are you in a position to tell us if there has been any movement on that area?
Look, the issue did come up in discussion with a number of other people, but it wasn't a specific point of discussion with either the Prime Minister or other members of government. It is a matter for the government of Timor-Leste to put forward Timor-Leste's point of view, and whatever contribution we make will be at home in internal domestic debate in relation to the issue. Naturally, we will always, as a major political party in Timor-Leste with the largest political grouping in Parliament, ensure that all of these things are done in the best interest of Timor-Leste and the best interest of the people of Timor-Leste and the people who become engaged in this. Anything that is positive in that regard, we will support it. Anything that adds skills, anything that provides job opportunities. But it is a matter for the two sovereign governments of Timor-Leste and Australia to work through a lot of detail. And the understanding we have is that quite a lot of detail still needs to be worked through in order for this program to move forward in a way that is positive, that provides benefits, but also that doesn't result in any potential problems down the track for either country or either sets of people.
And looking at what lies down the track, the Greater Sunrise development, there are sort of conflicting stories about how and where the pipeline is going to go. Obviously, it would be very good for Timor-Leste if the refinery was in Timor rather than Darwin. And I noticed that your president, José Ramos Horta, made some very, very strong remarks about the situation and the attitude of Woodside and their CEOs, and I was just wondering, do you endorse the comments that Horta was making, and is this likely to become a point of contention, I suppose, with the some areas of the Australian government?
We support the spirit in which the president advocated for the pipeline and the LNG plant to come to Timor-Leste. Fretlin, always in government, maintained its position to work steadfastly to ensure that Timor-Leste's interests in that regard were fully protected. And we believed, and we continue to believe, that a pipeline and LNG plant at Timor-Leste is both economically and technically feasible, and that it is in the best interest and in the benefit of our people to have those resources exploited on Timor-Leste onshore. So we support the President, the spirit with which he advocated for that. I must say, without going into specifics, we wouldn't endorse the specific comments in relation to either the CEOs or the companies. I'm certainly not here to tell the President how he advocates for Timor-Leste. he has been doing that for many years. Let's just say that we wouldn't be putting it in those terms ourselves, but that nonetheless, we would still be advocating, despite the fact that our rhetoric might be different. But it certainly would be in the same spirit of endeavouring to get the project onshore in Timor-Leste.
And is there any sign yet, Jose, which way the pipeline is going to run, or is it still all speculation?
Well, I believe from fairly wide discussions now with representatives of the companies as well as Australian officials, I believe that the position for the joint venture partners in Sunrise is that it's either Darwin LNG, that is a pipeline to Darwin and a liquefaction plant in Darwin, or a floating LNG at the location itself. Both of those options exclude the Timor-Leste option. And if that is in fact what they've done, if they've excluded the Timor-Leste option, then I would say that that is a very negative step, because that option hasn't been properly studied or properly investigated. And it deserves to be, and it deserves to be discussed. And in fact, under the framework of the treaty, the proposed plan to be approved really needs to be one that is both economically and commercially most viable. Let me say that during my time, they hadn't managed to convince me as the appropriate minister at the time, and I certainly haven't seen anything to date that indicates that they've done the right thing by the people of Timor-Leste, which is to ensure that they've canvassed that option as a serious option and not just discounted it because of some perceived risk or some risk that they've magnified in order to bolster their argument for an alternative other than Timor-Leste. My only warning to the joint venture partners is not to repeat the mistake they made in 2003, which was to try and blindside, try and whitewash, and try and run roughshod over Timor-Leste's interests, because no Timor-Leste government, no Timor-Leste government can make a decision without having all of the facts before them and without having all of the considerations being given due weight. And unless that's done, then I would see it as a very difficult situation for this case to move forward. Now, internally, domestically, we will have our own things to say about the manner in which this government has handled this situation. And on occasion, Dr. Alkatiri has said, and I have said, that they've mishandled somewhat the situation. But that's an internal matter. When it comes to dealing with the interests of Timor-Leste, and the pipeline and the LNG plant, we are united on the fact that it has to be onshore Timor-Leste, and we will work domestically to ensure that we achieve that.
Yeah, well, it certainly would strengthen, you know, in terms of just giving East Timor more self-sufficiency and economic strength. It would probably be almost cost-effective in terms of not having to being dependent on aid for for decades into the future. And there's another big project being proposed in Dili itself. There's a huge hotel resort. It looks like a kind of Club Med type of resort, 1,000 rooms, their own power supply, expected to be built over the next 6 years, 4 or 5 years anyway. How do you feel about that one?
Well, it's appropriate you raise that immediately after such an important project like the pipeline, because we've gone from discussing the sublime to the ridiculous. And let me tell you that this is ridiculous on not just one count, but on a number of counts. It is ridiculous because the agreement that was signed, or the MOU, is for the construction of a Club Med type resort, as we understand from the media publicity, and we're still awaiting the documents for this, on an area which is in fact environmentally protected area under our legislation enacted in the year 2000, which has endured. It was during the UN period, and it's endured until now because it was deemed at that time that there are a number of areas that needed to be protected. The area which it's proposed to be constructed is called Tasitolu, or Three Lakes. And the reason it's called Three Lakes is there are very three freshwater water catchment lakes very close to the sea, which are also lakes that are home to a number of unique species of water birds. And BirdLife International, and the foremost bird specialist and biologist, biodiversity specialist, in who studied in Timor-Leste, an academic by the name of Colin Trainer from the Charles Darwin University, has compiled, in fact, a very good study on Tassitolo as being one of those areas that is important for migratory water birds. Now, you've got that, and then you've got on top of that superimposed this, what I call a ridiculous approach, and in fact, perhaps an unlawful approach to build a Club Med type resort. Who is it going to be for at the end of the day? It's certainly not going to be for Timorese. Timorese will not be able to afford to stay in such a hotel. There's talk about a golf course. Are people aware of how dry Timor-Leste can be during the wet season? During the dry season, I'm sorry. If you build a golf course, how much water are you going to have to supply? Water is still very much in the barn throughout the country. We're still talking a population where, you know, a little under 50% of the people don't have access to water. So, you know, golf courses are going to be watered, sprinkled with copious amounts of water that are a vital resource here as they are anywhere else, but more so here because people still don't have the access to it. I think, from my point of view, I think that is just totally the wrong set of priorities. And why? Just to show that we can build a five-star hotel? I'm sorry, but that is not my idea of development of Timor-Leste. And I don't think that that is what those who fought and sacrificed for this country fought for. They fought for the development of our people, for the education of our children, for the increasing better health conditions, housing, not five-star hotels. So this project actually shows to you the difference in the ideological approach and the philosophical approach to human development governance between this government and the government of Timor-Leste. Now, it was signed by a minister who's notorious for these white elephant projects, and one would like to investigate this proposal to see what further links there are. I would hope that the notoriety of this minister in signing white elephant projects is being noticed by his superiors in his government, because it's certainly been noticed by the parliament, and we will put utmost scrutiny on this project to ensure that if it does go ahead, that the law is complied with. And having said that, I don't think it'll go ahead because the project will not comply with the law, because they want to build it in an environmentally sensitive area.
So you're saying it hasn't actually been locked in yet?
My understanding is no.
Good. Yeah. And the other controversial project, the sugarcane biofuel project with the Indonesian company, has there been any developments on that one?
My understanding is that tomorrow in Dili there will be a major event, in that a civil society group by the name of Laoha Motuk, which is the Institute for Reconstruction and Development of Timor-Leste, has been a long-standing NGO since the early days post 1999, is holding a public forum at which the Minister for Agriculture, the signatory of the MOU, has been invited to attend. And in fact, a representative of the company will also be attending, where this matter will come under close scrutiny. My understanding is there are going to be a whole range of civil society participants there, and I hope that the debate addresses this issue and puts it under the appropriate scrutiny that it should be put. And I guess we'll only be able to report on that much later. But thus far, there has been no development in terms of, you know, one sod of earth being tilled. And my belief is that perhaps it won't. Perhaps people will come to their senses. The other one is that there's been an adverse reaction by population in a number of centres, or where it's been touted the land would be made available because people have prior customary ownership claims to those. So I think until we get those things sorted out, we won't see this project move forward. And from our point of view, and from the point of view of a lot of people in Timor-Leste, that's a good thing.
Yeah, actually, that raises another question I have for you, Jose. This idea of establishing how land tenure should work. There's been a huge project. I think it was sponsored largely by the U.S. Embassy, USAID. Is that going ahead, and is it settling some of the land ownership issues, which is bedeviling Timor-Leste?
Land ownership issues in Timor are complex. I've seen some of the media hype of late. Now, let's just put this in perspective. This is another phase. This most recent phase is another phase of a phase that began during our time in government, when the first raft of legislation was enacted to deal with the first phase of acknowledging and alienating some land that was free of dispute and conflict. Now, that is now legendary in Timor-Leste that there's conflicting claims coming back from the Portuguese days through to the Indonesian period, through to the transitional period, meaning the UN period, and through post-independence in 2002. Now, all of these are very conflictive and very complex issues. How do we deal with all of this? How do you deal with recognition of, say, ownership of land by those who are Indonesian citizens? And our constitution is very clear about that. We don't recognize Timor-Leste land can only be owned by Timor-Leste citizens. So, you know, there are a number of tricky issues that are there. We've seen some of the drafts of the proposals that have come out. Ultimately, this will have to come to the National Parliament. And if it does, we're going to have to all work together to try and find a way out. How we find a way out of all of this, I think there are going to be winners and there are going to be some losers. There naturally have to be. You can't satisfy everyone. So whatever laws come out, whatever ground rules are laid in legislation, then they have to be enforced. And, you know, I'm not certain that that is going to be the end of the conflicts that arise and future conflicts that can arise in relation to land, but at least we can begin the process of managing properly. Now, again, the most important thing is we've called on the government and everybody concerned to ensure that this is dealt with applying rules of universal fairness, rules of natural justice, and rules of the human rights that that we enshrine in our constitution. Unless these are respected, and unless our constitution is respected, then I think we will not achieve those aims of finding a piece of legislation that has a consensus, a national consensus. And that's what we need to find in this case, is we need to find a national consensus to deal with this. And that means, right from the start, very wide consultation and taking into account the views of the widest possible group of our society and the views of those who might be winners and losers. Mm. I think that's critical. Now, if they are engaging in that process, then I must say that I undertook what I regard as the most consultative legislative consultation process in this country, which were the petroleum laws and the petroleum fund law. And ultimately, that law, the petroleum fund law, was passed by our national parliament by unanimity. Everybody accepted it. So I think that there's a measure there, there's a yardstick there for public consultation, and if they do that, then I'm sure that we'll manage to find a consensus that we need.
Mm. Well, that's heartening news, Jose, and thanks very much for keeping us informed and indeed for keeping such a close watch on these critical issues in East Timor or Timor-Leste.
I have to, Warwick. That's my job as a parliamentarian, is to represent our people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we don't keep across all issues. In fact, I'm very glad that you haven't asked me about laws regarding, for example, military service or any of those other things that have come across our parliament in recent months, because I've paid a relatively little attention to that and much more on these other critical issues that I think affect the peace and stability of our country.
Well, there are obviously areas where you do have some expertise, Jose, and I look forward to hearing from you in the next week or so, especially on the issue of the results of that public meeting you mentioned about the biofuel project. You know, we'd look forward to having an update on that from you perhaps next week, and also what are the big issues coming up in the parliament where you obviously spend a lot of time.
Indeed, and certainly I'll be happy to report on the CAVR Truth and Friendship Commission report. Extremely happy to report on that.
Okay, thank you, and thank you for talking to Community Radio. Jose Teixeira.
thanks for your interest, and thank you, and a good day to you, listeners.